So, Jimmy, your mom was in town.
My mom was in town. You met her.
I met her.
Yeah.
She was lovely.
Yeah, mom club in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. She, my mom didn't really want to do anything when she came except for meet her newest celebrity, which was Jessica.
Oh.
She was just like, oh my goodness, I'm so nervous. Oh my goodness. Is she going to be okay? Do I look nice? She was freaking
Do out. I look nice to meet Jessica?
Yeah.
I'm really awesome. Fancy.
I mean, I changed out. Pants today twice.
Thank God. Thank God. There you go. Oh my God.
And I ended up leaving looking like a bumblebee, but it's...
I just took a shower.
It's okay. It's lovely. Thanks. Like man. like a 1920s bumblebee that's imprisoned.
Oh, thank you.
You know, in a 1920s jail.
Thank you. 1920s. Okay.
Honey, honey, can't you hear? Funny, funny music here. In the funny strain, going through your brain like a bottle of wine. Fine, fun, fun, fun. Take a chance.
Welcome to Tannis and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, moms. Hi, friends. Hope everyone's having a great week out there.
Yeah. It's finally getting to kind of be fall.
Yeah.
Today, at least?
Yeah. It's
where? I mean, here?
Right.
Yeah.
And definitely not in California.
No.
California is going through the heat wave. But yeah, we're getting into the fall season. We're getting into the holidays. Halloween is coming up.
Ooh.
Super excited.
Do you have a costume?
You know what I do for Halloween? And by the
what
time we release this episode, it will be over.
It'll
but
be after
that's all. Okay. We can still talk about it. It was fun. I picked up some wine that they changed the label on.
You told me
to
about that.
To call it, it's our Blaufränkisch wine that we had on Ariana DeBose's episode, and they changed the label to the Frankenstein wine.
Yeah.
And I just find that so funny. So I'm going to be at home.
How
literally,
festive.
Right. Literally with like some cat whiskers, because I will have already gone to Chipotle and picked up my $3 meal, because they do that on Halloween.
Oh,
And I will have, like, gone in and been like, I'm in costume. So, yeah, I've got whiskers on. You should give me free food.
Yeah, very rude.
And so I will get my Chipotle. I'll have my wine and just, like, sit at home and watch Hocus Pocus.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a good night. What about you? Where are you going to be?
I have a few things going on for one thing, my friend wants to do Riverdale. So she's going to be Josie and the Pussycats, all three of them.
Great.
And I'm going to be Jughead for a party. But then for another party, I just do my go-to, which is Marty McFly.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good costume.
And it's because it's just like found clothing.
Yeah.
From my closet.
That'll be fun. Cool.
Yeah.
Your
it
week.
Is, yeah.
My week was good. Yeah. I mean, I've just been in rehearsals all week and just trying to get stuff done. And then I leave for Dallas later this week.
Yeah. I was going to ask, like, what's life now that you're done?
It's
the show.
Great. only because, like, it was such a fun experience, but I need to go back to normal life and my normal schedule and actually do the jobs that I'm supposed to do. So that'll be great.
Right.
But I have one more thing before I go back to normal life, and I'm going to Dallas to do Witches of Eastwick. To do
what?
A little
people are doing
concert.
That show.
Yeah,
yes.
We're just doing like a living room concert of it. Me and some friends from Dallas.
Yeah.
And it'll be good to see my parents and help them move. So. Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, before we get into anything too much, I want to make a special announcement.
What?
We are doing another live event, which is so super exciting. And even more exciting
Where is it?
It's going to be at VTL Harlem.
Oh, my goodness.
Where I work.
Ah.
So the store is really excited to have us there and be recording live. So what you can do is at 7:30 on November 19th, which is a Sunday evening, you can come to VTL. We're going to be doing the show live. You can browse, look at the wine, buy the wine, taste the wine, all sorts of stuff with us while we're recording the show there. So all my VTL customers, you have to be there because I'm going to drag you in. And other friends, you should come and join us and hang out. It's going to be a really good time.
New friends, new moms, come on in.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So do you want to get to our review challenge?
Review challenge, yes, absolutely.
Cool. So just to remind our listeners out there, for the next, I guess it'll be 2 months now, we are matching $1 for every review that we get on Apple Podcasts and sending that money to relief efforts for all of the hurricanes and for the Las Vegas shooting victims. It's really important to us to be giving back right now and helping people out wherever we can. And also, your reviews help us in terms of making our podcast more known and getting us up in the charts for iTunes. So today, we have a really special wine.
A very special wine.
This is from A Song for You. And do you want to read that real quick, Jimmy?
I would love to. The title is Such a Good Time. And the review is Having a Blast Following This Podcast, Smiley Face.
I love it. So, so simple, to the point.
So simple, to the point.
I love it. And 5 stars, which is great. So, A Song for You. This is the wine that we have for you today.
We have a wine for you.
It is super exciting. This is called the Dirty and Rowdy. Those are the winemakers, and it's their 2016 Mouvedre. And this is a natural wine, you guys. So what is natural wine?
Yeah,
mean?
I was about to.
I know.
I was like, isn't it all natural?
Not exactly. So natural wines are made using the least possible amount of chemicals, additives, and like all the technology and stuff. It's basically grape juice and little else. They use natural yeasts, like that just happen. And so it tastes a lot like where it comes from, which is called the terroir.
Oh.
So this wine is super tart, has like flavors of cherries and cranberry in it. It's a really, really great wine.
And it feels it's straight to the point.
It is straight to the point, much like you, A Song for You. I love it. So that is our review challenge. Don't forget to go on a review and we'll pair a wine with your username.
Yeah.
Cool. So Jimmy, we have a really cool guest today.
I'm
so excited. So this,
I'm excited, and I just met him.
This is one of my dear friends who's come and joined us in the studio, Tug Watson.
Yay!
Good morning.
Yes, listeners, we are recording this in the morning, which is not typical.
Yeah, usually we do it late at night.
Late at night.
But we're just peeling back the curtain.
It's a normal time to have red wine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, Tug, give us a little bit of your background, like the highlights.
The low lights.
Well,
the mid-lights.
I haven't had highlights in a while because I lost my hair about 12 years ago. For the listeners out there, that's what I look like. I'm a shaved-headed kind of man.
And he is sexy.
Oh,
thank you.
So right now I'm a swing for the vocals and the older kitty cats in the Cats revival. Also, I'm working on my master's
Jess,
at San Diego State University, where yours truly, Jess, graduated from last year. So
yeah.
I've been doing this vacation thing with cats for about a year now, so I just travel to and from San Diego to New York whenever they ask me and if I'm free. So I'm really I'm loving it, but I'm exhausted.
Yep.
Of course, writing a thesis in my dressing room.
I did it.
Yeah, it's
my hotel room during Peter Pan was my thesis station.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But it's this is sort of, it feels like, okay, you wanted all of these things. I'm going to give you all of these things all at once.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, just take it.
Yeah.
With a smile.
Yep.
So it's wine has been very helpful. I'm not yet, but it has been in the past. So yeah, I moved to San Diego about a year and a half ago after doing a bunch of tours. I was with Chicago for a while. I was with the Evita Revival for a while. Cats has been a part of my life for like 11 or 12 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, you know, your regional Cats. I did the Troika tour for a couple years and here I am right now, with you fine people.
I love it.
Yeah.
Aww. Yay. Well, we are so happy that you're here, and I am especially happy to have another MFA or soon to be MFA-er at the table.
So close. I'm so close.
Right.
I can see it. He's actually, listeners, he's actually writing his thesis on a laptop as he's talking to us.
It's not good.
Yeah. And like in between, he's also recording vocals for Cats. They record them every single night fresh. I don't know why they can't just use the same recordings.
It's great.
Now, have you done where you'll like Skype in for the lectures, or that you'll listen to them later?
We haven't. Oh yeah, I've been getting all of my classmates' notes and their, mm-hmm. you know, their lectures like that. So I've been, you know, reviewing those and kind of editing the notes for my language, because I, you know, I like to use a little more grit in my notes. I'm not so mm-hmm. professional.
It's just a lot of profanity.
A lot. Yeah, like my notes are like, Cole Porter is fucking dope.
That, right? You know, exactly.
He was a dirty old bag. I love it. So
good thesis. I want that.
Okay.
Cole Porter ready. Is fucking dope. That
yeah.
I'm ready. Yes.
Okay.
New idea. Scratch everything you've done.
Everything I've done. I've written 30 pages already.
That's yep. the minimum. what was your question?
Oh, no, just...
I haven't even touched the wine yet.
It's the best. It's the best. Well, actually, we can move on from MFA land for a second, because otherwise I would stay on it all day and talk about experiences.
She does.
I know. But we are excited to talk about the show that you brought in today.
Me too.
Which is Floyd Collins. Now, for our listeners, you're probably saying, what show?
What?
What? Because it wasn't...
That's the Pink Floyd musical, right?
Right. Because it wasn't actually on Broadway. But it is such, I think, such an important show, such an interesting show, cool show. So what drew you to Floyd Collins?
So I did Floyd Collins in undergrad. I went to Syracuse and I graduated in 06. So I think it was 2003 we must have done this show. Mm-hmm. And I played Homer, his younger brother. Mm-hmm. And when the show was announced, I was like, well, you know, what is this show? And I'm, you know, just some 18-year-old from Virginia. And we didn't really have Wikipedia at the time. So I just had to buy the soundtrack and, yep. you know, read about it, you know, as much as I could online. And I was just totally enthralled, like from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard really anything like it. And once I got through the whole soundtrack and sort of fell down the rabbit hole of, you know,
or the cave,
or the cave, you should say, just like continued to like just be surrounded by this show. It didn't even dawn on me like that this was a real story,
right.
You know, and if I had heard this story or read these newspaper articles about Floyd Collins and who he was, the last thing I would think is, oh, yeah, I'm going to write a musical about a man who gets stuck in a cave in Kentucky and dies at the end. So when I tell this to my family, like, hey, I got cast in the show, this is what it's about, they're just like, do we have to see it? I mean, that sounds really depressing. And it, you know, if you look at it with depressing eyes, like, yeah, it's going to be depressing, but it's got such story of, you know, family
heart.
And resilience and faith and, you know,
fame.
Well, yeah, the statement of, you know, fame and America's obsession with, mm-hmm. you know, the obscure. I just think it's so, so fascinating. But the music of Adam Gettle is pretty
incredible.
Gorgeous. I mean, gorgeous. And I mean, I know nothing about music theory, so I'm not going to try to pretend and be like, oh yeah, the intervals and, you know, the notes of Stravinsky. I don't.
Well, you can. They do it too. Music theory. So.
But I would just be, it would be blowing that out of my ass. Like, I know nothing. All I know is it's hard as hell. Gorgeous to listen to. And just, I don't know. It's just, I feel so lucky to be able to have sung it.
Right.
You know, and,
well, and like you said, to get through it, I mean, it is probably one of the most difficult scores that exist.
Yeah, it is.
It's really, really insane. And actually, while I was in grad school, one of my composers that I was given for our lecture series was Adam Gettle.
Sure.
So I know way too much about Adam Gettle, but I just wanted to give our listeners a little bit of a history on him before we get into the show, just so you know where we're coming from when we're talking about the show. So Adam Gettle has a pretty big legacy.
To say the least.
He is a pedigree.
Exactly. So his grandfather was the famed Richard Rodgers of Rodgers and Hammerstein. His mother was Mary Rodgers, who wrote Once Upon a Mattress. And he's the godson of Arthur Lawrence.
Who?
Right. Who's done like everything. Who wrote every book for every show ever, including West Side Story. And then he was a mentee of Stephen Sondheim. But even with that, he was like, I don't want to be part of this family business. Like, I don't want to do it. And so he avoided writing and doing things like that for a while. He performed as a child, but then kind of gave that up once he hit puberty and didn't want to write. But eventually he kind of came around to it. And he says that his family is at time both a privilege and a curse. But he's also one of those composers who was left a pretty big trust fund. And so he's had the luxury to just be able to sit and write. And I think that that's part of where his genius comes from, is that he didn't have to necessarily think about holding down three jobs and writing this music. So he can be as intricate as he wants to be.
Or to go in directions that maybe artistically he wants to.
Exactly.
Because I think sometimes when it's focused on making a profit or making money, we...
Getting people to like it.
Yeah. Getting people to like... We find ourselves maybe not necessarily down paths we don't want to take. You know, there's still creative freedom and like, but it's more of a box than it is to do something entirely artistic.
Right.
Right. And you don't really get the impression that Adam Gettle is just writing musicals as a commission. Like, people are like, we want to make, you know, this teeny bot movie into a musical, and you are the composer that we are hiring. And he's obviously picked very, very specifically what stories need to be told. And,
yes.
You know, they're few and far between, you know. But they're all such gems.
They are.
Light in the Piazza. Missing Hymns, you know.
Yeah. They're all gorgeous. I will never forget when I first got my Light in the Piazza cast recording. I was 14 years old or something, and I couldn't stop listening to it.
Oh my goodness.
I just didn't stop.
See you just as, like, pretending that you're her.
Oh,
like...
I have a yellow dress.
Oh, I so wish that I could go back and lose my virginity to say it somehow.
I mean...
Good morning.
That song. That, no, but I mean, we will get into like a whole Light in the Piazza thing because I can't.
I mean, he does do a lot of things creatively, artistically, but I do hear that he is doing the musical version of the Emoji Movie. Does everybody hear that, right?
Yeah, I heard that. Like,
damn it, no.
Or something, maybe. Okay, let's pause before we get to the show and let's crack open some wine.
Yeah.
I mean, I say crack open's already been opened because it needed to breathe.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Let's get into this. Do you want to pour, Jimmy?
I would love to.
Great.
So how does this work? Do we tell people when we're taking a sip and like smack our lips together?
Exactly. Yep. That's it.
It's all like an old-timey radio hour where there's actually somebody else doing
with
all the sound
effects. Yeah.
Hello, David.
So Floyd Collins is a show, like we said, about a guy who is working through a cave.
Yes, he was a spelunker.
Yeah.
In Kentucky.
Trying to find... He went from Crystal Cave, which his family owned, but no one was coming to it because it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. And he wants to basically excavate Sand Cave, which is a cave that's a little bit closer, and ends up getting stuck.
And from what I understand, the actual Floyd Collins had a theory that the Great Sand Cave system in Kentucky was all connected.
Which it is.
Which it is, but it wasn't proven until Floyd Collins.
Right.
So he had all these dreams to make it, to make, you know, the cave system is in Kentucky like a tourist attraction.
Mammoth Caves.
Mammoth Caves. And you know, like Jess just said, he got stuck. He got his foot caught in a really, really tight place under a rock. And thus the musical.
Right. And the musical covers the 2 weeks that he was trapped,
right,
and how he himself became a tourist attraction and the media became obsessed with him and all that. And we'll go into that more in detail in a little bit. But when I was choosing a wine, I wanted something super dirty and earthy and minerally,
yeah,
and all that to go along with this musical. So let's take a sniff.
Salute.
What do we smell? no one has anything.
It smells very tart.
Yes.
If you can say tart has a smell.
And warm.
Well, definitely warm. The color is deep.
Really, ooh, really deep plum.
Yes.
What if I told you that it was grown in volcanic soil? Do you get that?
I can see. Yeah, I can get that.
Yeah.
I definitely get a mineral, a rock sniff.
Yeah.
Undertone.
Yeah, aroma.
Aroma.
Okay, let's take a sip. Here we go. Wow.
Well, I was right. It's very tart.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
But complex.
Yeah. Ooh, it almost tastes like something mulled.
Yep. Yep. Like tea leaves, mm-hmm, that are in there.
There's definitely like, I don't know if I'd ever name a wine like this, but it's very vegetable-y. There's a lot of like vegetable taste.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. And plant.
Yeah.
Plant. Yeah. Lots of plant stuff in there. Spicy incense.
I would say something quite spicy too. It's almost like Gluck.
Yes, you know? It is a lot like Gluck. Yeah.
What's that?
It's like it's a holiday drink. I think it's rum based. Yes.
Rum.
So take like your spices, rum, red wine, what is it? Cloves, mm-hmm, cinnamon, orange.
Orange, yeah.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Have a great MFA party.
That sounds beautiful. You're my new best friend.
Okay.
It's incredible. Actually, I had somebody from the store the other day bring me some mulled wine spices from Germany.
Oh, it's delicious.
That she got.
Oh.
And she was like, you're going to use these. And I was like, yeah, we are.
Yeah.
My apartment in New York, when I used to live here, didn't have a heater at all. And it was like basement studio, so it was freezing, which I kind of like, because I don't like dry radiator heat. But I would just boil water all winter and put all the mulled wine spices in the water.
Yes.
So my whole apartment just smelled amazing.
I'm gonna do that.
Do it.
Landlord, take my heater away.
Turn the heater off. Yes. Yes.
I love that. So this is actually a wine that is from Spain, from the Canary Islands.
Ooh.
Which
made
by a canary.
For canaries. So if you want a wine for your little white bird, this is it.
I am not going to be able to pronounce any of this because I don't speak Spanish. And you would think I'm from Texas and like could actually speak Spanish. I can't.
Okay.
So this is the Iños Origines Viejariego Negro.
That's better than I was going to do. I was going to be like, it's igneous.
Somewhere some pretentious wino's head just blew up.
I know. Like, they don't listen to us.
Made by canaries. every single... Yeah.
They don't listen.
This is not the podcast for those people.
But what's really cool about the bottle is that it has this artwork on the bottle that actually represents all the different kinds of soils that it was grown in. So you can feel.
Oh, it's textured too.
Yeah. You can feel the different soils that,
ooh,
that it was grown in on this island or on these islands. And it was also grown at 750 milliliter. Oh my God. Oh man, it's early. 750 meter altitude. So pretty high up there. It tastes really, really smoky, which is what I think of when we think of like a maybe a charred wood barrel,
right,
that it's aged in.
Do you think that has something to do with the volcanic?
I think it has a lot to do with the soil that it's grown in. I also think that it has a lot to do with the actual grape, because if it's a thicker skinned grape and we're getting a lot of that tannin in there, it might come off as a smoky flavor.
It's almost as good as a white Zin.
Yes. That my grandma would drink.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any ice and a straw?
I got a lid for you if you want that.
I literally remember when the point where I looked at a white Zin and was like, nope.
Yeah,
I
no.
I can't do it.
Why not?
It is too sweet to me, and too thin, and it doesn't, like, to me, I really love complex wines like this. Like, you taste it on the front of your tongue, you taste it on the back of your tongue, and you have different things that you're tasting and picking up, and like we just did. Like, mm-hmm. everybody's mm-hmm. getting something different from it. Mm-hmm. With a white Zin, you are getting pink juice.
And
that
headache.
Is the flavor. Yes, and the headache, because it has so much sugar in it and so much sulfites that are in it, that's where your headache is coming from, is all of those things. And this, it has no added sugar in it. You're not dealing with added sulfites because it's a natural wine. And so usually with these types of wines, you aren't going to get a headache because you're not dealing with any allergies.
Mm. Do you have some sugar, though? Can I add to it?
I mean, you can go to the kitchen and like, get some sugar, I guess.
Do you have, like, one of those Mio water things that I can, like, I want to make mine lime flavored.
Ew. Gross. Yeah.
I mean, I love a wine spritz. That's...
Oh, I love it. I love a wine
Did
spritz,
Did I tell
too.
the Blythe Danner story here?
No.
Okay.
Was she here?
Yeah, she was. Well, before I was a part of the podcast, Blythe Danner was the.
My dinner was host.
So I was catering an event. I was bartending at a event, and it was like stars of Broadway were there. And Blythe Danner came up to me, and she's like, "Hi, I'd love a white wine spritzer." Now I don't know much. I was new. I was a very mm-hmm. new bartender at the time, so I made it the way that I thought you make it, which is white wine and Sprite. And yeah, with a little ice.
Oh, no.
And I gave it to her. And she turns over, around. She comes back maybe 2 minutes later. And she, in the most polite way possible, she's just like, "This is a little sweet for me. Is this, and I... And she's like, "This is just a little too sweet for me. I'm so sorry. Can I have like another one or whatever?" And I just like go... red. I die in that moment.
Yes.
Because Blythe Danner calls me out, and I screwed up her drink order,
Oh, Jimmy. She's, like, she's never coming on the podcast.
He's never coming on the podcast. Not anymore.
Yeah, but like, that sounds delicious anyway, Blythe.
I mean, I can see how maybe that would be a little sweet, though.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you had, like, a white Zin and Sprite. Though, that I would have loved that. In college.
I think I gave her Pinot Grigio. I think it was Pinot Grigio and Sprite.
I'm not so sure that. Okay, so we've done the wine. The wine is dirty. The wine is minerally. The wine has... I was looking for something with some sediment in it, and unfortunately I just couldn't afford anything that was super old.
What is it called when, when you do this with the glass? I'm swishing it around, and then it drips or doesn't drip.
So you're volatilizing the esters is what you do when you're swirling it. That's
who's
what it's
Esther?
Called.
Yeah. Damn. Such better joke.
And what it's doing when you swirl is taking those molecules and making them bounce together, which is letting off aroma. And that's why everybody swirls their glass and then puts their nose in it, is because... It really is releasing that aroma. And then the tears is what we call it when it's on the sides of the glass.
Yeah.
It's a really good indication for acidity.
Oh, so acidity versus quality.
Correct.
Great.
Yeah.
What?
A lot of people do think that. A lot of people do think that, like, if it does slower tears, it's of, like, better quality. If it's faster, it's not so good. And that's not true. It's literally just acidity. So a Riesling is going to have tears that move more quickly than, like, a wine like this, a red wine that has a lot of depth to it.
It's
no.
bad Riesling.
No, but I'm actually surprised that the tears are quite,
they move pretty quickly on it.
They're water clear. But this has a very, very complex, thick, you know, something you'd want to pair with a steak sort of red wine, as opposed to like your sweeter red.
Right.
You know.
Right. Though it is, it like for having such a smoky, complex flavor, the body of it, it's pretty medium plus.
You are so good at this. Do you want, on top of everything else you're doing, take over my job?
He's only here for... he has to go back and get his master's.
Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, keep,
so do you want to live in my tiny home in San Diego?
Everything else.
That's right, you do have a tiny
I
home.
Do. It's so cute.
You have like one of those so like micro homes?
It's called a casita in San Diego.
Like a cassette tape?
Yeah.
You live in a cassette tape?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so cute.
I love it.
I mean, I don't have an oven, but I do have a rice cooker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm like pretty... skinty out there, but I'm eating like crap here.
Oh, because I know. That's all you can do.
I know.
There's not a lot here in New York.
Yeah, there's not a lot of food options, right? Yeah, yeah, no.
New York's almost like a food desert.
It's I mean, everything closes. Blah, blah, blah. But speaking of food, why I'm asking these questions about, you know, the tears and Esther, whoever the hell she is,
damn it.
Is because, you know, in between all these theater gigs, like most of us do wait tables or cater and whatnot. And I don't know about you guys, but I've definitely had, you know, our manager who plays the whole, you know, the wine manager game as well. And he or she thinks that they like are the authority on Willamette Valley versus Virginia wines versus Rioja. Shut the hell up. You know,
people call it Willamette Valley.
What is it? Willamette?
I call it Willamette Valley.
Oh,
and
what?
That's how people like in Oregon, like, I don't know where this Willamette came from.
Willamette? My mom says that, and she's a wino.
Right.
So I just trust her.
Yeah.
But no, they always are just like, yeah, you want to show the tears and, you know, really chew it around in your mouth. So that's why I wanted to ask the question of quality versus not.
No, it really doesn't have an indication of quality the majority of the time. And also, I will never say that I am the expert on serving because my certification is in more of the winemaking process.
Great.
Rather than service. Like there are two different certifications that you can get. One is through the WSET program and one is through CMS, which is Court of Masters. And for all of our listeners who have seen SOM, they are going through Court of Masters. And so that's why they have to dress up. They have to know the right temperature to pour things at, all of that. I don't do that. I don't care. It's coming from the kitchen. Like, I don't know.
You'd really appreciate my dad then. He knows a lot of, he's kind of like me. He likes, he retains useless information and it becomes useful in certain contexts and everything. But as far as wine is concerned, it's pretty amazing how just like straightforward he is. He's just like, well, if you like it, then it's good.
Good.
Yep. And I'm like, Dad, you're I refrigerate my like expensive red wines.
Yeah.
Because I like it like that.
Right?
You know, yeah, and some people are like, don't ever do that.
That's what I love about the wine community and the theater community.
We like Dixie Cup refrigerated red wine.
Right?
Everybody has a straw.
It's the best. But the theater community is so welcoming to people. And it doesn't matter if you love Mamma Mia and Bye Bye Birdie and all those shows because they're great. And it doesn't matter if you like to refrigerate your white wine or your red wine because it's great. And if you like it, then that's the only thing that you have to worry about.
Right.
And I feel like it's two communities that work so well together.
So it also doesn't matter that some people pronounce it Willamette.
No, it doesn't matter. It just annoys me because I just don't like it when people correct me on it.
Right.
And I'm like,
right.
No, I'm right. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. It's not as bad as people who pronounce Lodi.
Okay.
Lodi.
You know what? We are never revisiting that episode ever again.
Ever again.
Or like try to actually have a French accent when you say Cabernet Sauvignon.
Sauvignon.
Oh,
I love when people come up to my bar and say it like that. It's usually people from the South.
Oh, you don't say.
Okay, so going back to the show for a second as I swallow my wine.
Floyd Collins probably liked this wine.
Probably did.
All right.
And it goes well with the show. So if you're listening, if you go and listen to the soundtrack, my two recommendations for songs that you have to listen. No, three songs. Take it back. Three songs.
Mm-hmm.
Riddle Song.
Riddle Song.
Stunning.
I mean,
Riddle Song.
Can you get any better than that?
You can really listen to that out of context and be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you appreciate just listening to something that is an obvious relationship, you know.
So good.
Two brothers recounting their stories.
Yeah.
So good. For women, Through the Mountain.
Yeah. Yes. That song.
That's like my dream song.
I sing that in the shower.
Right?
Pretty regularly.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's and especially because I grew up in the South, and I know a lot of girls that it's hard to lose your accent when you're singing sometimes. So I think that it's a good song for somebody that understands music theory, because it's a pretty difficult piece, but when you just want to have a little bit of twang in there.
Right.
I'm gonna walk you through the mountain on a bearskin rug, through the great halls you dream of and tell us so often. I'll take you by the hand, and with a gentle tug, we'll be gone.
There is a lyric, though, about taking a nap on gypsum flowers. Don't do that. They're really, they're not soft. They're hard and sharp.
How do we know
oh,
this?
Oh, no.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Our Floyd, back in 2003, gave everyone a gypsum flower for, like, a closing night gift. And I still have it. It was beautiful. And I definitely, at the closing night party, was tipsy. I took a bunch of the gypsum flowers and I laid down on them with my face, and I didn't feel great after that.
Oh no.
Do you think it was the gypsum flowers, or do you think it was the drinking?
Yeah. I had just sort of grew up from, or matured past Jaeger and Jose to, you know, gin and Budweiser. And yeah, so I was not quite 21.
What? Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
That's never happens on this program.
Sorry, moms.
Moms,
Sorry, don't listen.
Don't listen to this part.
Okay, so no sleeping on gypsum flowers, you guys. Third song is How Glory Goes.
But definitely go through half the bottle of wine before you get to How Glory Goes, because then you'll really feel the emotion.
Cry.
And
you will have tears as the wine has tears.
Yeah.
And this might be controversial, but I will say that I like the cast recording How Glory Goes better than Audra's How Glory Goes.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I know. Our listeners are going to be up in arms.
Oh, no. A Twitter war has erupted.
It was written for the male voice, and I think that it shows it off in amazing ways.
Only heaven knows how glory goes, what each of us was meant to be. In the starlight, that is what we are. I can see so far.
It's also, I mean, it's a beautiful song that stands alone, of course, but in context of the show, it really is just like, it is the perfect bookend to this musical.
Yeah.
What's happening here is Floyd, essentially, whether he's dead or not, the audience isn't totally sure, but he is about to ascend to heaven. And in
there's
these
a
moments,
physical release.
Yes. In these moments, he's praying and asking questions of his God, and, sort of coming to peace with life, and seeing his mother, who, you know, departed years before, And it's just a really, really beautiful moment. And usually the way it's staged is after his last lyric is, I can see so far. The last thing we see as an audience is Floyd sort of coming up from this position of being stuck for 2 hours mm-hmm. or 2 weeks and then ascending into the light in a way. It's just, it's spectacular.
And it... Most of the productions, including the original, have this non-literal staging mm-hmm. for all of it, which I think helps the audience, A, not get bored, and B, be able to make something of that last moment, whatever mm-hmm. whatever you think it is,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really, really, really cool.
I'll never forget the look on people's faces. The characters who, you know, other than Floyd, we were all in these, like, still tableau positions. On stage, my character had just been slapped across the face by his father, and at that moment I'm just, like, on the ground for the rest of the show, and we were on a platform about 8 or 9 feet ahead, or ahead? On top of Floyd, who was stage level.
Ahead of Floyd.
Ahead.
And we're all there for How Glory Goes, and I can see so far, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. The lights flood the audience to blind them mm-hmm. in, like, a, you know, they're going to heaven as well. And in that moment, I just kind of, like, looked out, you know, to see where my family is or where my friends are blah, 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 blah. And the entire drama department at Syracuse was all in, I mean, a fucking wreck.
Right.
Like, tears, tears, tears. A girlfriend of mine, I think she was my girlfriend. No, I was out of the closet at that point. She was just, like, weeping. But she was right next to my grandparents who were looking around with this, what the hell did I just spend 2 hours to? He's dead. Like, my grandfather's just like, every show since Floyd Collins, which still, this was a college show my sophomore right. year. I'm on Broadway right now, and this is, Floyd Collins is probably the thing I'm most proud to have done.
Right?
And yeah. every time, my pop is still just like, it's not going to be that show where the guy gets stuck in the damn cake. I'm like, no. One day. Maybe again.
That's brilliant.
It's so polarizing, like our political climate today.
Oh, yeah.
Surprise, we have your parents and grandparents here.
Though I think that, I don't know, the bluegrass element, mm-hmm. I think, makes it approachable for people.
Oh, for sure.
Like, oh, I understand this music, until they really start listening and they're like, oh, no, it's super complex and scary. And the show is about somebody getting stuck.
Well,
oh,
this isn't... I was just speaking to somebody yesterday about Kinky Boots, and I work there in front of house, and it's amazing.
Do you know Brett Fiegel?
I do know Brett Fiegel.
He's my old roommate. We toured together for a while.
Oh, yeah. Wow. He's my manager.
You tell that queen I say hey.
I will. I see him.
Sorry, tonight. Just outed you, Brett.
Guys, I didn't even know. He wanted to go, what? He wanted to go on a weekend to get ladies.
Oh. That's, yeah, okay.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, Kinky Boots, he probably thinks those are real women.
Oh, my goodness. That's, I can't tell that person's story.
Sorry, bro.
but, as we are, as I'm serving people, it's amazing the amount of people that come to see the show that you don't think would enjoy the show.
Yeah.
If talking about polarizing, talking about, and they come out and they're just like, I loved it. It was amazing. It was right. so much fun. So they're,
and it is.
And it is. Yeah. It's not, but it's also like has this message in that it's, so they're coming and getting both sides, you know?
Well, I
know.
And I think that the message of Floyd Collins, at least one of them, that Adam Gettle, there's this quote where he says, I think I wanted to work on a story where someone had aspirations for something beyond their reach, failed at attaining those goals, and still had a noble life. And I think that that's a really interesting message that he was trying to write. And between him and Tina Landau, I mean, Tina Landau wrote all the spoken dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he wrote all of the sung words.
Right.
So it's also interesting to see two people who probably have completely different visions for the story really come together and make this seamless project.
And not that Adam Gettle is really for want of success. Like, this, right. his career hasn't exactly been a failure, but he hasn't had, you know, enjoyed commercial success, say, right. like... you know, his grandfather, right. or
his mom,
or his mom, or Cyndi Lauper at Kinky Boots,
right,
you know,
exactly.
But Floyd Collins itself, like as a musical, it only ran off Broadway for something like 25 or 26,
25 performances.
Right. And it has had such influence on the theater world in that to me, that's like the musical, the off Broadway musical. That's like a turning point for contemporary modern American musicals. So yeah. If Floyd Collins, the musical, was all Adam Gettle wrote, and then Adam Gettle died prematurely, or that's all he ever did, bravo.
It would still be
like a noble life and an influential experience.
Well, and Dana Williams over at Playwright Horizons was really the one who took it from that. It premiered in 1991 at the American Music Festival.
91?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And then in 94 was in Philly, like, being developed. But Dana Williams was really the one at Playwrights Horizons who took it and said, okay, we are really going to work on this and develop this and put it off Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And let people see this of you. Because imagine if it had just been in Philly. I mean, we probably wouldn't have ever...
Right.
Really heard of it.
Right. And I think it could enjoy, you know, at least a limited run on Broadway one day.
I think it will, definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It says it's our story. It's all of us.
Yeah, it is.
People in the artistic community, but anyone who are trying to go for a dream and maybe find that it's not going the way that they planned, or there are roadblocks there along the way, and they find the beauty in what they have. Mm-hmm. I think it, like, certainly that was for me in, like, New York. Like, I had such beautiful dreams of, like, what New York was. I realized that those weren't mm-hmm. what New York actually is, and then I fell in love with what New York actually is.
Right. For me, what makes Floyd Collins such a personal musical for me is that I have no shame in saying this, but I whether I talk to myself or talk to God or talk to, you know, ghosts in the room or something, I don't know. I do speak things out loud to just kind of make myself feel better about things or to make myself hear things so that I really go for something.
Right.
Or talk myself out of a box sort of thing.
Right.
And, you know, in Floyd Collins, the character unseen is God. And, you know, whether you're religious or spiritual or not, it's still something that we all kind of relate to. Just like, just begging the question, you know, is everything good? Can I be happy? Will my family be okay?
Right.
You know, and just putting all of your faith in what you love and what you want most in something that you can't really see or touch. Yeah, that's why I just kind of hold Floyd Collins so near and dear to me.
I love that.
Yeah, it's, I need more wine, but it's, that's
guys,
sort of the mystery. That's the mystery of
yeah,
it for me.
We're all
it
wine
is.
Tears.
Yeah.
No, that's amazing. And I love when you do have a personal connection like that with the show, and it is that thing that you hold on to, and you can see yourself in the character. And
right.
I think that we all need that. We all have those musicals. We all need those musicals.
Right. Like, my personal connection with the new Emoji Movie musical by Adam Gettle is sometimes I feel meh, and sometimes I feel thumbs up, and sometimes I feel poop. Emoji. And
coming
that's
to Broadway
life.
2019.
Eggplant peach.
Eggplant peach.
That's all I'll say.
Now that we've got some wine in us, we're gonna play games right now.
Oh my god.
No rehearsal.
No rehearsal.
That caught me off surprise.
So, we have a game for today.
Okay.
And because you are almost an MFA master.
MFA master!
We're going hardcore on today's game. So this is a game that goes a little bit with Floyd Collins called Who Died First?
Oh my god. I don't know this
okay,
game
okay.
beforehand.
Yeah, these games
if
are
if I fail at this, I lose all credibility
right.
in my cohort, because I'm like the person that, you know, loves history and
yep.
is like,
yeah.
If, yeah, then you,
so,
if I win, I well, get your master's.
Oh, God. So, I will give you two characters from a musical. You have to tell me three things.
Oh, God.
Who died first? what musical they are from, and how they died.
Well, I know what you mean by who died first, because they're characters in a musical.
Yes.
Okay, so...
So I will give you two characters from the same musical.
Got it.
And you will tell me
who died first
in the plot, what musical they are from,
right,
and how that character died.
Now, how do you pick if it's first. Jimmy or Tug?
We will buzz. So we're as soon
biz.
As you as soon as you know it, you buzz.
Oh God, this is like Ophira Eisenberg on NPR.
So we will exactly. So we will start easy. Ready? Scar or Mufasa?
Buzz.
Oh. He said biz. I hit my hand at the same
time. That's okay.
Give it to you.
Okay, Tug, go ahead.
Well, I mean, Mufasa died first.
Uh-huh.
They're from The Lion King.
Uh-huh.
What?
And how did he die?
Oh, Mufasa was, Scar kind of like fed him to the stampede.
Yep.
Right.
Yep, trampled by a wildebeest.
Survey says, trampled by a wildebeest.
Ding. Yeah. Okay, ready?
All right, so.
Next. So you have one.
Okay.
Ready? Old Man Strong, Bobby Strong.
Biz.
Okay. Jimmy?
Old Man Strong. This is Urine Town.
Mm-hmm.
And he was taken to Urine Town.
Right.
He was killed. He was shot.
Yes. Technically thrown off a building.
Yeah.
Well, Bobby Strong was thrown off a building.
Yes, that is true. We don't know exactly if everyone in Urinetown was.
I just assumed. Yeah, I just assumed like
That's what.
Okay. And you think going to Urinetown is just being thrown off? I thought it was just like you're going to Urinetown, you're dying.
Everyone looks off the side of the same building. There's like bodies piling up.
Bodies piling.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I have to pee.
Okay. Let's take a break.
No. Let's play the game, but just okay.
Okay. I mean, Urinetown peeing. Every time that you hear that musical, you're like, oh, man.
Also, I mean, it is a paid service, so.
That is true. The first one's free. Okay, ready?
First one's free.
Number three. Narrator or Baker's wife? That was Tug. You both did it.
The narrator or Baker's wife are from Into the Woods.
Uh-huh. Who died first?
The Baker's wife.
No.
Oh, fuck me. Really?
Jimmy, do you want to steal?
Yes, I do. It was the narrator, and the narrator was mobbed to death by all the other characters.
No, that is incorrect. Tug, do you want to steal? How did the narrator die?
The witch pushed him towards the giant.
Yes.
But wasn't that after the baker's wife?
No.
Baker's wife is at the end.
It was the beginning of Act 2 in which this happened.
I thought it was after... Oh, she dies...
She dies in the
right after, you know.
Yep.
But it wasn't my fault. I was given those beans.
Yep,
she dies after that.
Yeah, she.
I was thinking
after
it was
her.
After
Last Midnight.
After her, yeah, Moment in the Woods.
And then they
Now I'm talking about the witch.
Yeah.
Oh.
Last Midnight witch.
Is after, yeah.
Got it.
Narrator, so what happens with the narrator is, yes, he's pushed towards the giantess by the witch. The giant or giantess picks him up and drops him.
Right.
And there's a
okay.
big squish.
Ugh.
Yeah. Okay. Ready? Number four. Eddie or Columbia?
Oh.
Yep.
That's hard. No, I got it.
Eddie.
Uh-huh.
The Rocky Horror Show or the Rocky Horror Picture Show,
uh-huh.
depending on you what. And Dr. Frankenfurter killed him.
Yep. With an ice pick, but I'll give it to you.
In the production we did
uh-huh.
in college, I was Frankenfurter. To kill people, I would just throw a big, really long, hard dong.
Yes.
At them. That's how we kill people.
Want to kill somebody?
Was it also a midnight show?
Oh yeah, Halloween.
Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was great.
Okay, here we go. This one's hard.
God, I'm like living my college days. That's so depressing.
Radames or Mirab? Or Mirab? Yeah.
Mirab.
Uh-huh.
Aida.
Uh-huh.
No clue.
Who is Mirab?
She's the other slave girl.
And she is mortally wounded by Zozer and dies in the arms of Radames.
Great.
And Aida.
So we should neither
Zozer?
Get. Yeah.
Zozer? Oh, is Zozer the keymaster or the gatekeeper? Zozer is the keymaster or the gatekeeper?
Of what?
Oh, I'm talking Gozer.
No.
sorry.
We're
sorry.
Both looking at you like, what?
Yeah, that usually happens.
Okay. Wait, so who's ahead?
I think we're tied.
I think you're tied.
One on one?
Let's say we're
Oh, no, yeah. You have two. You have Rocky and you're in town.
You have two because you have Lion King and you stole Into the Woods.
You stole Into the Woods.
Oh.
So you're tied.
So we're tied.
And no one
okay.
gets Aida.
Okay.
No
okay, ready?
Aida.
Fantine or Javert?
Biz.
Fantine.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is Les Miserables.
Uh-huh.
And she dies of, like, chlamydia or no. something. Cancer. Well, or she's...
So I have three different answers for how she died, and that is acceptable, because it's either consumption,
yeah,
some sort of STD, or yeah, malnutrition.
Yes.
And what is consumption?
It's like an old-timey disease.
It's okay, like TB.
Yeah.
It sounds different than... Because it sounds like she ate too much, which would be different than
right.
anephila to malnutrition.
Not malnutrition. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she was consumed by yes. the spirit of the French Revolution.
Maybe she had so much of this delicious wine. igneous.
Or maybe she knew that she was like the best part of the Victor Hugo novel, and she's like, I'm so consumed, like, with myself. I'm just
gonna go, you guys.
Pride cometh before the fall.
Right, and then Anne Hathaway played it and was super consumed with herself.
Yeah. Gonna do my solo project, Fantine.
Fantine is fucking dope.
A thesis.
Go back.
Okay, last one. Here we go. Ragtime. Oh, I gave it away. So, too much wine. Okay, but...
Like, yes?
So give me, you just have to tell me how they died. Ready? Whoever died first, and then how they died. The show is Ragtime.
The show is Ragtime.
Sarah or Cole House? Tug.
Sarah.
How'd she die?
She was shot in the crowd.
Yep.
In a crowd.
In a crowd of people. Yeah. She was mistaken for a would-be assassin.
Right. She's Mr. President!
Oh, no! Yeah.
And, you know, Audra's like, oh, Mr. President! Yeah, so
Mr. President! Just all the high notes.
Yeah. She kills with her voice, right? She's a banshee.
She's so good.
She's siren.
Amazing. She's amazing. Okay, so, Tug, you win!
Oh,
you
God.
Win!
Okay, so Tug, thank you so much for joining us today. We really, really loved having you here. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
Oh, God. Well, I am on Facebook. I am public. I shouldn't be right now, but it's just Tug Watson, T-U-G Watson.
Great.
Pretty English. And then my Instagram name is Aunt Tug. So A-U-N-T _ T-U-G. It used to be Look at Stupid Tug, but when I decided to go to grad school and I like got students, I was like, I don't want them to call me Stupid Tug like my friends in New York call me Stupid Tug, which they do.
I need a story.
Okay, in a sec. There actually is a story. But Aunt Tug came from another friend of mine who I'm having happy hour with later today, John Riddle, who's going to star in Frozen soon.
Oh.
He called me Aunt Tug because I was always carrying around bags with, like, you know, if you ever need anything,
mm-hmm,
old Aunt Tug would always have it for you in his bag, you know. So, and he was like, you're like that aunt lesbian Tug, whatever. And so that stuck.
That's a dead on impersonation of him.
Right. he's a dear old friend and drinking buddy. But Look at Stupid Tug. I mean, I'm going right back to it next year when I'm not a teacher, for sure. Came from a day that me and my friends were passing out flyers for, two of them were in a band, and they were a really, really great band. We were passing around flyers in Astoria, and we show up at a bar to meet to get the flyers, and they're all dressed in, like, the same outfit. They're all in a white V-neck,
mm-hmm,
black skinny jeans, and some variation of a black leather jacket. They all were wearing, like, you know, they were straight out of, like, the early 90s London.
Yes.
And here I was in, like, a boat neck striped shirt and, like, your light blue jeans and Toms and, you know, like a straw Panama hat. And they're just like, Tug's so stupid. Why didn't you get the memo? Like, we look like rock stars. And I was like, I'm sorry. And they're just like, look at Stupid Tug walking down the street with his fucking stripes. And I'm like, I know, I'm so stupid.
Oh, no.
That's a sad story.
I know, but, like, they called me Stupid Tug for years after that. Like, I would be making them Thanksgiving dinner, and they'd be like, look at Stupid Tug making a turkey.
Look at Stupid Tug, you know, making a delicious, complex course
for
meal.
For me. Best friends in the world.
Oh, so good.
I love it. I love it.
Love them. They're family.
Jimmy, where can people find you?
Not at Stupid Tug. they can find me on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson, and they can find me on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson.
Cool. And you can find me at JMHumphrey1 on Twitter and Instagram. And then please follow the show, Tannins and Tunes, on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And then you can always email us questions at tannins and tunes@gmail.com.
Have you gotten a few of those?
I've gotten a few. And it's been a good way to, like, talk to different wine stores and stuff about...
Your vocal placement on that question was just really great, by the way.
Hey, Taxi!
Hey! Hey! Thank you. Now I need to remember that for every single time.
Every audition. Yes. So make sure to send us questions. Anything that you want us to talk about on the show, a show that you are really fond of and want us to cover... All of that. And don't forget to participate in our review challenge.
Review challenge.
Oh, and one more thing about Floyd Collins. Listen to the recording if you haven't.
Yes, please.
But there's a gorgeous song that isn't on the recording called "And She'd Have Blue Eyes." Men, beautiful song. Just beautiful. Find it online somewhere. I'm sure some Michigan kid has it on YouTube. It's gorgeous. Have a good day.
I love it.
And with that,
bye. Oh, I would say that we would sing something from the show, but it's too early in the morning to be doing those runs.
Does anybody have a riddle?
No.
Want to end with a riddle?
Jimmy, do you have a riddle?
What's black and white and red all over?
What,
a
Jimmy?
Newspaper.
A newspaper. Or a penguin with a sunburn.
Oh.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Even Floyd knew something wasn't right. He was suffering nightmares of night. But he didn't worry about what he dreamed. Things was going good. Looking for his fortune under the ground.